Love. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there, they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. Fellow citizens, above your national tumultuous joy, I hear the mournful wail of millions whose chains, heavy and grievous yesterday, are today rendered more intolerable by the jubilee shouts that reach them. If I do forget, if I do not faithfully remember those bleeding children of sorrow this day, may my right hand forget her cunning, and may my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. To forget them,
welcome.
To pass welcome, lightly welcome. Over their wrongs, and to chime in with the popular theme would be treason most scandalous and shocking, and would make me a reproach before God and the world. My subject, then, fellow citizens, is American slavery. I shall see this day and its popular characteristics from the slave's point of view. Standing there, identified with the American bondman, making his wrongs mine, I do not hesitate to declare with all my soul that the character and conduct of this nation never looked blacker to me than on the 4th of July.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to BTR. I'm your host, Dawid Yako Maccabeus. You're listening to Signs and Wonders, the show that came right on time. I'm coming to you live from Sweden. Today is October 24th, 2010. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I had to, I'm actually talking and testing at the same time, because I usually call in through Skype. Today I'm trying to do something different, calling from my cell phone. If you would like to speak, the calling number is area code 347-826-9484. That's 826-9484. I will be accepting calls after the first hour, and hopefully I can get to those calls. That's just wanted to lay that format for you. And actually, if you want to talk, I think you have to hit 1, and then that will raise your hand, then I can answer your call that way. Okay, today's broadcast is entitled Billion Dollar Building, A Message to the Gentile, Watcher File 4. Now, this is a pretty interesting title, because today we are going to discuss the Gentiles, but in a way that, to explain about what's happening with the United States. But before we begin, of course, I must open in a word of prayer. And let me begin. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Yahushua's precious name that you protect me, that you guide me. Most of all, you forgive me and my forefathers for breaking the covenant that you gave to us. I ask that you continue to be with me in my life, I pray that you continue to protect me, like I said before, where there are a lot of crazy things happening right now, Father. But I know with your spirit within me, nothing can harm me or my family, and I pray that you continue to watch over us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In the name of Yahushua's precious name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, now, let's see. Last, I think it was Wednesday, I did a show. I did a broadcast. And the broadcast was about the Ascended Masters. Now, during the second part of the broadcast, I wasn't able to really get into what I wanted to get into now. So I wanted to really dedicate this part, this broadcast, for that. And how I'm going to begin is by first explaining to you what an analogy is. Now, a lot of you know what an analogy is, but to refresh your memory, let me read the definition, okay? It is a similarity between like features of two things on which a comparison may be based. The analogy between the heart and a pump. Logic. Okay, now here's logic. A form of reasoning in which one thing is referred to by similar to another thing in a certain respect or basis of the known similarities between the things in other respects. Synonyms: comparison, likeness, resemblance, similitude, affinity, correspondence. The reason why I am reading this definition of analogy, because today I'm going to do an analogy between this story that I have in the United States. This analogy is based on the destruction of the United States, okay? And I'm going to do this by telling a story called The Billion Dollar Building. Okay, now, Billion Dollar Building. Here we go. In one of the most powerful cities in the world stood one of the greatest achievements of mankind. What stood in the center of this city was a building, but not just any building, but the Billion Dollar Building. What made this building special was not the value of the building, but how it was created. You see, this building was the most advanced engineering the world had ever known. The workers that worked in this building, proud. They were the most powerful, wealthiest people on the planet. Now, why they were so proud is because working in this building gave them the tools to control the planet. Every morning, they would look to the sky and thank God to be alive. Now, what made this building so special? Let me describe this building. Let me describe this billion dollar building, to be more exact. The building was the tallest on the planet. It reached into the heavens, way above the clouds. It was made from the finest steel money could buy. Each stone was placed with pride. Inside the building, there were marble stairs, fountains, and even a marble post for the well-paid guard. See, there were giant mirrors that reached all the way to the ceiling. The ceiling was 33 feet high. Now, on the 13th floor, there was a grand salon. The salon was called the Queen Mary. Now, what really made this building special was not the beauty or the craftsmanship, but the purpose in which this building was created. Beneath the building lay the most advanced computer system on the planet. There was so much wire that the cores would alone circle around the earth three times. Within these wires lived optical fibers, okay, communicating mass amounts of information around the globe in just seconds. No place on Earth had the ability of this billion-dollar building. Each office was connected to this computer, and each worker had the power of the system at their fingers. You see, if you were fortunate to work in this building, you would become wealthy beyond your wildest imagination. But one day, the owner of the building was approached by someone who took an interest in this building. He wanted to make 10 more buildings just like it, all over the world. So he said to the owner, "You know, I really love how you built this magnificent building. I see how your workers are rich and are happy and are powerful. Let's partner. Let's make 10 buildings just like this one all over the earth." The owner of the building heard these words and his harp screamed, "Yes!" And he shouted with joy, "Yes, of course!" The man said, wait now, hold on. There's one thing you have to consider. You see, to make this dream a reality, we first have to destroy this building." Then the man said, "Well, no problem, let's do it." The man said again, "No, wait, hold on. There's one more thing. All the people have to be inside." And the owner said, "Man, are you crazy? Are you insane? I'm not going to harm my workers." But the man said, "Now listen, if we destroy this building and take away the profits in the system that was set up by these workers, we would never be able to build 10 more billion-dollar buildings. The workers will demand their share, and the building will not be built, and you will be left with nothing." So the owner thought long and hard. Now, he could have $1 billion building or $10 billion buildings, but the only thing standing in his way was his workers. So the man thought. He thought to himself and he said, "I don't have any love for these workers. These workers love me. I can have 10 times their love. Yes, let's destroy this building." So while the workers were asleep, they first ripped out the computer system, pulled all the wires and the cords from the massive walls. They took away all the things of value and made the building great and replaced them with explosives. When the workers finally awakened, they realized that the building was a shell of what it used to be. Now, the owners of the building knew there was no turning back. The worker knew that the building was destroyed. He thought to himself, "Now that the workers are awake and they see that the building is a shell of what it used to be, they're going to start having questions." So he said, "Do I destroy the workers as well? Do I destroy this building with the workers inside? If I don't, they're going to realize what I've done, and then I'll never have my $10 billion building." So the owner stood, staring into space, thinking about his decision. You see, ladies and gentlemen, friends and enemies, this is the predicament the United States of America is in at this moment. America is gutted. Whatever value America had has been taken away. Her power is slipping away. It is being ripped out day by day. They are building a new America, aka Atlantis, a more powerful America, but without the American people. But the owners of America still have a choice. They can either press the button and pull it, or they can rebuild it. But if you are going to rebuild America, you have to use all of the workers, not just the rich and the powerful. You see, you have to use the ones you rejected. You have to use the ones you placed on channel zero. You have to get real close to your workers this time. You have to acknowledge who the workers are. You see, some of these workers, they have the ability to turn the head of Yah. Some of these workers have the Most High. They have him in their sight, and he is in, and they are in his sight. Because the Most High, Ahayah, the father of Yahushua, is the only one that can rebuild America and give her back her glory. Okay? Now, that story, of course, is an analogy of present-day United States. I thought of that story. You know how things just come to you and it just came to me and I just started writing it and I just kept writing it down and then it turned into that. And if you think about this, America has to acknowledge what it has done in order for it to move on. All of the plagues that are coming on the U.S. are no accident. If you read the Deuteronomy 28 and you see the way that the ones that placed the children of Israel in captive have treated the children, those plagues will come back upon the people that placed them in captivity. I heard the other day that there was preachers that aren't allowed to say certain things, not just black preachers, but all preachers. And if they say certain things, they will be shut down immediately. I remember in the Jim Crow areas hearing that same thing with black preachers. I remember hearing things where when the slaves would have a child, the child would be taken away immediately. We wouldn't have a chance to love the child. I remember hearing that last week that a woman took her child away immediately. And this happens all over America. You see, things are starting to turn. The plagues are starting to come back on the U.S. And before we get into this, I'm going to play something. Because I want to make sure that my sound are still, I can still hear it. Now, what I'm going to play is another tape from Ozzie Davis. And Ozzie Davis is going to speak about a man by the name of Booker T. Washington. Now, I learned about Booker T. Washington when I was in high school. This is the only part of black history I knew about. And I was wondered why they were so happy with Booker T. Washington. Everybody loved Booker T. Washington. He was in the White House. All the rich people loved him. He was just the most wonderful Negro that America ever knew. I didn't hear nothing about no Marcus Garvey. I barely heard about W.E.B. Du Bois, even though he was Boulay. But when W.E.B. Du Bois grew older, he started to wake up. That's probably why I never heard of him. But Booker T. Washington. Now, I'm not saying anything negative about Booker T. Washington, but he was usurped. Now, I want you to hear this MP3 I have of Ozzie Davis, and it's a little bit lengthy. It's about 9 minutes long, but just listen to it, because after you hear it, I'm going to come back and explain why I'm playing this file. Okay, here we go.
To dine at the White House. He was an educator and a successful entrepreneur, and he had become the proverbial shining example to his people, a model of how through grit and sweat a black man could climb to the top as long as he knew his place.
This is Booker T. Washington. He lifted the veil of ignorance from his people and pointed the way to progress through education and industry. At the beginning of the 20th century, Booker T. Washington was the most powerful and the best-known black man, not only in the United States, but in the world. Always my story. It became an immediate bestseller. The book told how he had been born a slave in a little shack on a plantation in Virginia, was 7 years old at emancipation, poor, illiterate, hungry. How he worked so hard and so long to get an education, and once he got it, how he dreamed and struggled to bring it to the rest of his people. The opportunity to do that came to Booker at Tuskegee, Alabama, where they needed someone to build a normal school. That's a school for teaching teachers, and he was just the man for the job. Starting with an old chapel and a handful of students, Booker T. Washington opened Tuskegee in 1881. He believed that the salvation of the Negro race was manual labor, things that a man or a woman could do with their hands, farming, building, cooking, sewing, animal husbandry, shoemaking, and the like. And so, Booker T. Washington and his students, with their own hands, brick by brick, built the school. And over the next 20 years, it became one of the major educational institutions in the South. Consider now the world as it must have looked to Booker T. Washington while he was building this miracle called Tuskegee Institute. The Civil War was over, Reconstruction was dead, and political coalitions between blacks and whites trying to vote their common interests failed miserably at the ballot box. The 14th Amendment might just as well have never been written. Lynching, peonage, rape, pillage, and even murder was commonplace. And none of the crimes against black folks were ever punished. The black folks were getting impatient, the South was getting stubborn, and the North was getting bored. Somebody had to do something quick before the situation between the races got completely out of hand. While traveling all over the country to raise funds to build Tuskegee, Booker met many rich and powerful men, industrialists, philanthropists, some of whom became his mentors, his idols, and even his friends, like Andrew Carnegie, for whom he named this building, the founder of U.S. Steel, John D. Rockefeller, the father of Standard Oil, for whom he had a building over there, John Henry Ford, Thomas Alva Edison. Now, all of these men had started out poor, like Booker, and by sheer pluck and grit, self-determination and hard work, each had built an empire, and in the process had become the richest, most powerful men in America. Booker listened, and Booker learned. Business, the bigger the better, and not reform, was America's new religion. Industry had to come first, not civil rights, if the South was ever to get back on its feet. That black people, as a natural pool of cheap and available labor, could provide the base for a new economic order in the South with wealth enough for everybody. Especially for those who, like Booker T. Washington, had already proved they knew exactly what to do with all that wealth. All that was needed was somebody big enough, powerful enough, with grit and gumption enough and vision to pull the whole thing together. And Booker, after thinking long and hard, concluded that somebody was him. Everything he accomplished at Tuskegee proved it. But how could he, a black man, prove to the rest of the nation that he had been sent into the world to redeem the South? His chance came in 1895 when Professor Booker T. Washington was invited to come to the Atlanta Cotton States Exposition and make one of the opening day speeches. Every day, Booker would come into his study and practice that speech. He had to be careful. He would be polite. Thank the board of directors. This magnificent exposition, he would begin, will do more to cement the friendship between the races than any occurrence since the dawn of our freedom. And then he would make sure they understood that black folks no longer depended on the Congress or the courts or on politics. Ignorant and inexperienced, he would continue, it is not strange that in the early years of our new life, we began at the top instead of at the bottom, that a seat in Congress or the state legislature was more sought than real estate or industrial skill. But if politics was not to be the solution, what was? Business. Bear in mind, Booker would continue, whatever other sins the South must bear, when it comes to business, pure and simple, it is in the South that the Negro is given a man's chance in the commercial world. And what would Booker prepare to sacrifice in exchange for this man's chance in the commercial world? The 14th Amendment. The wisest among my race understand that agitation of the questions of social equality is the extremist folly, and that all progress and the privileges which will come to us must be the result of constant and severe struggle and not of artificial forcing. In all things that are purely social, we can be as separate as the fingers, yet one as the hand in all that is essential to mutual progress. And then, as if to make absolutely certain they understood his good intentions, Booker would hand black labor over into the tender mercies of old master and the plantation economy. As we have proved our loyalty to you in the past, in nursing your children and watching over the sick beds of your mothers and fathers, and often following them with tear-dimmed eyes to their graves, so in the future, in our own humble way, we will stand by you with a devotion that no foreigner can approach, ready to lay down our lives if need be in defense of yours, interlacing our industrial, commercial, civil, and religious life with yours in a way that will make the interests of both races one.
Money poured into Tuskegee from all over, especially from Booker's northern white philanthropist friends like George Foster Peabody, William H. Baldwin, and especially Andrew Carnegie. Invitations to speak came from all over the country, and he was not one to turn down the opportunity to spread the Tuskegee idea. And speak he did, wherever a crowd would gather, in rail yards, at political rallies, before groups of farmers. Booker's opinion was sought by whites and blacks, high and low, about every aspect of black life, especially in the South. Soon, he had veto power over all the educational funds to all the institutions in the South, as well as over who should be appointed to political office. Without knowing it, without really seeking it, Booker T. Washington became one of the biggest power brokers in the Republican Party.
In 1896, that the Supreme Court gave official constitutional blessing to Booker T. Washington's deal in a landmark decision, Plessy versus Ferguson. Homer Plessy, a citizen of Louisiana who was just 1/8 black, was ordered to move out of a streetcar seat reserved for whites only. When he refused, he was arrested. In court, he contended that segregated seating was a violation of his rights under the 14th Amendment. No, said the court, the states could separate the races so long as their accommodations were equal. The result was to leave the fate of black Americans to the states for each to decide as it saw fit. There followed a flood of laws that carried an odd and ugly name, Jim Crow. Jim Crow was originally a comic character in a minstrel show song, then by extension, any black. And finally, it was the label for a whole body of statutes and customs designed to put the Negro down and keep him down.
Okay. Now, I told you that was a lengthy audio file, but I hope that you're still with me. The reason why I played that file, because I wanted to bring to mind a few names that were mentioned. If you notice, the names like William Howard Taft, John D. Rockefeller, Andrew Carnegie. Okay? Now, when Washington signed the Atlantic Compromise in 1895, you know, before signing that compromise, or before the details started to get laid out, he was actually supported by W.E.B. Du Bois. Okay? But W.E.B. Du Bois was a little bit more intelligent, and he seen foresight. He said, wait a minute now. Are we going to suspend the 14th Amendment? You know what I mean? Are we going to say we have no rights? We just went through 400 years of slavery, or in America's case, 200 and whatever. And now you're saying that we have no rights at all? You know? And, you know, understanding where Booker T. Washington's coming from, he's like, look, if we work with them, then we'll get jobs and we'll be able to basically, you know, live the American dream, whatever that may be. All right? Now, let me see. Here's something. Let me read this. It says, Washington associated with the richest and most powerful businessmen and politicians of the era. He was seen as a spokesman for American, for African Americans. That's what they wrote. And became a conduit for funding educational programs. His contacts included such diverse and well-known personages as Andrew Carnegie, William Howard Taft, John D. Rockefeller, Henry Holson Rogers, Julius Roswell, Robert Ogden, Collins B. Huntington, William Henry Baldwin, who donated large sums to his agency, James Slater, let me see. Then it goes on, Washington worked on educational issues, helping him enlist both of the moral and substantial financial support of many major white philanthropists. He became friends and such made and self-made man as Standard Oil magnate Henry Holston Rogers, Sears and Roebuck Company, and Julius Roswell, and George Eastman, inventor and founder of Kodak. These individuals and many other wealthy men and women funded his cause, including Hampton and the Tuskegee Institute. Now, I read that again because we have to understand that these people are not good people. These people, the Rockefellers, the Tafts, the Carnegies, set up the 1913 takeover of the Federal Reserve Bank. Now, they always have an alternative motive. If you think they are going to take this former slave boy and help him out because they love him, you are drinking the Kool-Aid. Okay? Why do you think they, you know, jumped on Brother Washington? Can you imagine why? Why was he in the White House, part of the Republican Party, when the Republican Party wasn't racist? You know, free labor, okay? These people became extremely wealthy off of slavery. And then when the slaves were to be free, they said, no, suspend your freedom for servitude. And once you are free from this servitude, you know what we'll do? We will build you up as a nation. Okay? But what happened? How did they repay us? Let's see. I have some notes here. And it says, I say here, how did the conflict begin? It says, the peak year of European migration was in 1907, okay, when 1,285,349 persons entered the country. By 1910, 13.5 million immigrants were living in the United States. In 1921, the Congress passed the Immigration Quota Act, followed by the Immigration Act of 1924. The 1924 Act was amended at further restricting the Southern and Eastern Europeans, especially Jews, Italians, and Slavs, who had begun to enter the country in large numbers beginning in the 1890s. Okay? 1890s. And when was this Atlanta Compromise? 1895. Okay? 1890s. Most of the European refugees fleeing the Nazis in World War II were barred from coming to the United States. See, they started barring them when there was actually a need for immigration, when they actually needed to get away from something. But we say, okay, there was the famine and all these other things. But now, I have a different opinion on this. Now, why would you flood the United States at this time when you already had free labor? Now, in flooding the United States at this time, what happened? Let's see. 1919, Chicago race riot. Beginning in 1910, thousands of African Americans started moving from the South to Chicago as one destination of the Great Migration. Fleeing, lynching, segregation, and disenfranchisement in the Deep South. The Ku Klux Klan committed 64 lynchings in 1918 and 83 in 1919 in southern states. With the pull of industrial jobs in the stockyards and meatpacking industry, a beckoning as European immigrants were cut off by World War I, from 1916 to 1919, the African American population in Chicago increased from 44,000 to 109,000, for a total of 148% during the decade. African Americans settled in the South Side, which, as their population grew, they passed against the neighborhood of ethnic Irish immigrant descendants established since the mid-19th century and had to compete against them for jobs and housing. Now, why should we have to compete against jobs and housing when we've been working for free for 200 years? And then our friend of Booker T. Washington, you know, the richest man in the world, Carnegie, and Rockefeller, and Standard Oil, and all these wonderful great men, you know, they were in Washington at the time. Booker T. Washington was talking to Taft. Taft became president. And you mean to tell me they had no power to curb immigration until later on? Booker T. Washington dies in what? When did he die, like 1915 or something? And now all of a sudden, there's like floods of immigration, and all of this deal that Booker T. Washington had with them is now being paid back by lynchings and riots. Let's finish. Southern African Americans had followed waves of immigration from Eastern. Southern African Americans had followed waves of immigrants from East European, who also added to the competition and tension. Ethnic groups established territories in their areas of the city, which their young men often patrolled against outsiders because of agricultural problems. Southern whites also migrated to the city, about 20,000 by this period. The rapid influx of immigrants caused overcrowding as a result of a lack of adequate low-cost housing. And then we have a list of riots in Cincinnati, Ohio. Okay. Here's a riot in 1866, New Orleans. I just have this paper. You can go on the, I'm going to have this on my site. Actually, my site is called HebrewIsraelites.eu, and you go to the resource section. And I actually have from the study that I did on Wednesday regarding the ascending master and the founding fathers, Mystery Babylon, all of the documentation for Benjamin Franklin being in the occult and George Washington being in the occult, and these individuals actually setting up the United States based on a satanic system. Yes, on a satanic system. You can read all the documentation on my site in the resource section. Now, getting back to this, the reason why I bring this up is because every year since 1824, there has been a race riot. Every 3 to 5 years, it's like 3 to 5 years, there has been some type of race riot, even as early as 2009. And these tensions are not an accident. These things that happened are not an accident. These things are purposely manipulated. Now, what is the cause between these things? What is causing the conflict between us as a people? There is a agitator in the midst. Now, we do have a common enemy. Okay? We do have a common enemy. But before we start to say, yeah, we have this common enemy, there's something that white America must acknowledge. When you say to us that, you know, we need to get a job or stuff like, you know, the black man is worthless. I don't even know how to repeat it because I ignore it. But I think most of you think that we are this way because somehow it is ingrained to us through how we are as a people. But understand that after slavery, the black man was well skilled. The black man had money. Okay, the Jim Crow laws that were used to suppress us actually enabled us to trade amongst ourselves. You see, when we started to trade amongst ourselves, we started to build great cities, okay, great communities. Those communities were so great that when the immigrants started coming in and the poor whites started to see it, they got jealous. And then we have race riots, and the states would allow your people to go into our neighborhoods and destroy them. That's why there's so many lynchings. That's why there's a mass migration. We can never have peace. We could never settle without having them come into our neighborhood and destroying us. I always bring this up. Race riot, 1921. Tulsa, Oklahoma. I have that on my site. You can go to my site right now and watch it. Document is documented. They literally had airplanes with bombs dropping on buildings. Okay? They displaced 11,000 people. It was called the Black Wall Street. That's just one city. One. Imagine how the other cities that weren't documented. Now, I bring this up because the curses. Who are the people that you're doing this to? Who are the people that, even if they left with great substance, that substance will be stolen? You know, the 40 acres and the mule and all that, those lies. Now, I don't like talking about slavery. To me, it's embarrassing. Okay? It's in the past. But it is not in the past because it must be acknowledged if we are the Hebrew Israelites. Because the curses that fell on the Hebrew Israelites was spoken to Moses when he conversed with the Most High. And the angel of the Lord said to him, there will be captive for 400 years. Now, that captivity did not happen. It did not happen in Egypt. That was only about 230 years. So you have to look where was the captivity. Now, do you think that something as horrible as a transatlantic slave trade would occur without having the Most High speak about it in the Word? Do you think a country like the United States of America would exist without having it spoken of in the Word? I hear these broadcasts called End Time. And I listened to them for years, and they always say that the Mystery Babylon is the Pope or the Catholic Church. Now, here's something I have to ask you. If Mystery Babylon is the Catholic Church, then what is the child of the Catholic Church? Okay? If the child of the Catholic Church is the Protestants or Protestantism, and all the children of the Protestants, that means your father, which is the Catholic Church, if that is the great whore, then what are you? Are you the child of a whore? Are you a bastard child? What are you? So you have to rethink about this Mystery Babylon being the Catholic Church. Okay? Yes, it is a part of it. Okay? It is part of this false doctrine that's out here, because the real doctrine was hijacked during the time of the Holy Roman Empire. This doctrine is used to be as a control method. Okay? It's used as a control method. And what you have to understand is that I myself used to be a Christian since I was, I think I was baptized when I was 21, Pentecostal, baptized Pentecostal, okay? Sat down there, tarried, got the Holy Ghost, everything, was in it, okay? Gave up listening to Prince. I used to love Prince. Gave it up. I ain't listening to no more. Okay, and I was strong. But you see, I'm honest with my faith. I'm honest with it. It's real to me. I studied hard. I studied daily. I took it seriously. And because I took it seriously, my mind started to open up. There's certain things that I was like, okay, this is not gelling right. And then the Most High led me to understand who I was as a person. He had to take me out of the United States, bring me here to Sweden, and open my eyes. See, my eyes were opened up maybe about a year and a half ago, totally. But 10 years ago, I knew that denominations were wicked, okay? And the denominations was confusion. So I stopped thinking as a denominal. I said, I can't be as Pentecostal or Baptist. I just have to understand who the Most High is. And then with that thought, brought me to where I am today. Now, I keep telling, I bring this up because I go back to those that say the Mystery Babylon is the Pope. You know, this is such a popular belief that, you know, Lucifer wants us to believe that. When Mystery Babylon is looking at you dead in your face. Think about the United States for a moment. What has the United States done? Okay? Are any of you familiar with a man by the name of Smedley Butler? Okay. Look up Smedley Butler. Smedley Butler. He died in 1931. Okay. He was approached. He was approached by the same men that, you know, helped our brother Washington so he can give free slave labor and make these guys wealthier than their wildest dreams, okay? He helped the same guy. He's talking about the same guy that set up the 1913 takeover of the financial institution of the United States. The same guy that are doing the things in the United States today. Smedley Butler, okay? He actually said, there are the fascist dictatorship that wants to take over the world in the 30s. You will never hear about this in the history books. It was forced to be brought out because of the internet age. Okay? Now, I'm telling you these things is because you have to understand. If you want to find this to Babylon, look in the mirror. You need to wake up. And all my fellow Christians out there, talking to you from a former Christian, you need to cry kofa. Come out from amongst her. You know, you don't have to listen to my voice, but one day, you're going to stand in front of the Most High. He's going to ask you, have you ever heard this message? You have to say yes or no. If you say yes, he's going to say, why did you not take heed to it? And you got to say, because I love Jesus. And he's going to say, who's Jesus? Don't you know there ain't no J? Don't you know my name is Yahushua? Do you know what Yahushua means? Yahushua, the Savior of the Most High. Did you know that? If you don't know that, then why would he accept you? These are things that you have to learn for yourself. You ain't got to take my word for this. You got to study for yourself. I got some tools in my cell. You got to do is go to Hebrew Israelites.eu. Forgot my own daggone website. Go to HebrewIsraelites.eu. Look in the resource section. You know what? Even in my resource section, I have a search. I have a search up there so you can document everything that's on that site. If something's wrong, you can email me and say, hey, Dave, this isn't right. I will change it. I am not scared to be wrong. I've been wrong so much in my life. Since I studied the Christian belief and I've came across corrections that I am happy to be corrected. I ain't got no ego here with me, okay? Now, getting back to the United States of America. United States of America, Mystery Babylon. You see, what you have to understand is that these things that occurred in this country with the Hebrew Israelites, the Jim Crow, the lynching, the stealing of wealth, all these things, it's coming back to you. You see, when I opened the program with the billion-dollar building, okay, it's already stripped. All they got to say is pull it, okay? As soon as they say pull it, it's going down. Going down. All right, does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? A building full of people just blown it up, going down. Do you think those people have the heart if they're going to do something like that? Do you think they have the heart to save America and the people of America if they're going to do something like WTC? Huh? Now, do you think that's a loving country? Don't you know you're in Babylon? What is it going to take for you to wake up? How can you support things like the IMF? How can you create third world countries? Hello? It's getting late in the hour. It's getting late in the hour. Now, I'm going to take a quick break, play something. If those of you like to call in, The call-in number is 826-9484. It's 347-826-9484. And I'll be right back. Okay, let me find something.
Hit it.
And there hasn't been another edition. you know. But the reason why I bring this up, because it talks about all the religions, from Baptists, Catholics, Christian Science, disciplines, Jews, Lutherans, Methodists, Mormons, all these Seventh-day Adventists. And one thing that stuck out to me, which I didn't think of another before, you know, but now it says, here's a couple questions. Do Baptists believe in heaven, in hell? Okay, that's a fair enough question. Okay. Do Baptists approve of divorce? Okay, that's a fair enough question. And he goes, what is the status role of women among Baptists? You figure, okay, women among Baptists, okay, the role among women, okay. And here's another one, says, what is the Baptist attitude towards black people? I'm like, what is that relevant? Okay, so then I turn to another one, and it has Catholic. It says, may Catholic priests take part in inter-religious services? It says, what is the Catholic Church attitude towards homosexuality? And then, what is the position of the Catholic Church on black people? I'm like, okay. But then Christian Science, the same thing. The Christian Science go to hospitals. The Christian Science call on a doctor of childbirth, you know? And then it says, the Christian Scientists oppose vaccinations. Then, what is the attitude of Christian Science to black people? So, in this great book of religion, every single question pertains to black people. My question to the American religions of America, why are black people so special or unspecial? Why is there such a status towards us? And how come the black people are called Negroes, African-Americans, the N-word, which I ain't going to say no more, and all these other things, but what we are? You see, they know more about us than we do about ourselves. These religious organizations understand that the ones that they call the black people, what they mean to say, what is your attitude towards the real Hebrew Israelites? Okay? For them to pinpoint us out, to bring us out like that, means that they understand who we are. We are more than just a special person. This is a very special individual here. And until America acknowledges this, until America hears this, America will continue to suffer. Now, I remember in June 26th this year, I was so happy that Farrakhan was speaking on the Hebrew Israelites. I was like, wow, he's finally going to say it. And the world's going to hear it. And then people are going to start debating it. And then America's going to start to say, what is he talking about? And I was just imagining the repercussions that would happen from a man like Farrakhan speaking. Because the Farrakhan says something, everybody's listening. So I know everybody heard him. But they ignored it. Now, I wasn't happy with how Farrakhan brought it out, because it was really confusing to a lot of people. Okay? And I'm not using this time to criticize Farrakhan, because that's for another show. But what I will say is that I use this statements or his program to bring this point out. And that point is that it was totally ignored by everybody. It wasn't even criticized. Now, don't you think that if they knew that Farrakhan was talking out his butt, they would have jumped on him like white on rice? They would have been like, look at this ridiculous statement Farrakhan is making. And look at his book. He sent a book to everybody. You heard him. I sent a book to Obama. I sent a book to him. I sent a book to him. All these people got his book. Not one person is saying anything. Why is that? You can speak about anything else he says, but when he tells you that the original Hebrew is from Africa, when he tells you that the original Hebrew is the one that were enslaved, nobody even mentions it, no place. I may saw one blog somewhere, but nobody mentions it. See, most of us are talking about it, criticizing it on YouTube and everything, criticizing him. I'm like, hey, he brought it out. Okay? Let's debate it in the media. Because once we start debating it in the media, then they have to say, well, who are these people? Are these people the synagogue of Satan that they talk about? How long will they allow us to speak on blog talk about this before they start shutting this down? Talk about my girl Georgia. They took her videos off the air, the Biblical Hebrews. Okay, we all have to support her. And we all have to start supporting each other now. Okay, we all have to start getting together, getting each other's phone numbers, finding out who we are, meeting together, and actually getting a little bit stronger now. Because this internet is not going to last. Okay, they're going to start taking this out, and then we're going to wish we had once it's over with. But to get back to this, now, what's happening now is the ignoring phase, okay? People are ignoring this right now. They're ignoring the truth. And it's okay, because you can ignore the truth, but you can't deny it. You cannot deny it. And there's going to be a time when everybody's going to know. Everybody's going to know. Okay? What do you do when everybody knows? What do I do when everybody knows? Just keep on teaching it. Now, I would like people to start emailing me, start getting some email information. Because in the event that the internet goes down, I actually am in the process of building a computer program that allows us to communicate through the internet, but not, if they say if you don't have the web browser is just one method of communication. There are other methods of communication, okay? Like, voice over IP. You know, you have different protocols that can be used to communicate through the web. And we can do this without no one even knowing through a lot of the different ports. But I'm not going to get into too much detail. But they may shut us down this way, but there's more ways for us to communicate. So don't even worry about that. But you have to contact me so I can actually explain these things to people. Let me get back, because I want to get off track. Now, let me see. I have some notes here, and in my notes, I was speaking about the riots in the Jim Crow period, and I was speaking about that because this message is entitled for the Gentile, because I want the Gentiles to hear it, okay? And the Gentiles are trying to ignore this. But if any of you have heard the Alex Jones show and the guy by the name of Pastor Lindsey Williams, in 2008, this pastor came on the show and he explained, he said, in 2 years, the United States will not be recognizable. Okay? Now, this is 2008. And he also said that the Alex Jones show will be one of the last shows taken off the air, but a lot of the other shows and stuff will be taken off before that. Now, if we think about what happened since that time, a lot. The $8 trillion that was lost from the United States, the signing of the mortgage loans, the mortgage fiasco now, $43 billion on food stamps, all of the jobs being lost, you know, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. Okay? It's not getting any better. So if his predictions are correct, then the question is, what are you going to do? Okay? Now, how many of you have food and water? Just the basic necessities, if this were to occur. Now, this is beyond, you know, there's people out there that say stop fear mongering or whatever. It's just being prepared. Now, I always have a certain amount set aside regardless, because you never know what can happen. And when I was younger, I grew up extremely poor. Okay, I know what it's like not to be hungry. So I always need some food around just in case. And if things are going to go the way that I think they're going to go, then it's just wise to have some things protected. Okay? Now, these things that are going to befall on the United States aren't just going to be centralized to the U.S. Because when the United States falls, right, you're also going to have, wait, let me check my switchboard. Okay. Because when the United States falls, you know, at the same time, I'm looking at Spain falling. I'm looking at Portugal. You see the things in Greece. I mean, it's all going to happen. It's all going to happen. It's going to be a different segment. You see, this is a global plan. They're going to build a new currency, a new global currency, not just the currency, not just the United States isn't the only one to be affected. Everybody's going to be affected. So we all have to prepare. Okay? I mean, things are going to get pretty hectic soon. I wanted to mention something. It was right on the tip of my tongue, and I forgot. Oh, now, I live in Sweden. Okay? Do you know that they voted in a racist party here in this country? Just like they did in Denmark. And another crazy thing that's happened is recently there has been shootings, okay? Shootings that target minorities, okay? I cannot leave my house without getting shot because there are certain people in the neighborhood that are being shot. And those are people that are immigrants. They don't want anybody that is not, you know, Caucasian to be in the country. Now, this is a lone individual nut, but for the past, there's two people, I think he shot two people last night. He got shot somebody the night before, then there's a couple people the night before. So it's just, you know, it's just getting buck wild. So that's letting me know that there's some demons everywhere. And I bring that story up to let you know that just because I'm in Europe doesn't mean that I'm not affected by it. But I'm able to see it first. I use the United States as like the point of ground zero. You know, I'm like, okay, it went down here, so now it's going to be like a domino effect. Okay? So I just think that, you know, we should just be precautious. And what if none of this happens? What if, you know, everything just eases and things go back to normal? And that's cool. That's really cool. Why? Because we have time. But there's something that we really have to understand here. You see, the people that are in power, that are controlling these things and manipulating them, they're not going to go anywhere. They're just waiting for an opportunity to do it. The reason why they're doing it so fast now is because so many people are waking up to it. Okay? I mean, you just have two or three clicks and you pretty much got the whole story. Two or three clicks and you can pretty much figure out what's going on. But the one thing that they got, the one thing that they have in their corner, and that's religion. The fact that so many people are so blind, are so wrapped up in Christianity, in Islam, in all of these things, that they believe that, you know, they're going to be saved by wrapping themselves up in their religion. But you're not going to be saved by wrapping yourself up in religion. You got to know history. You got to know who's doing this, why they're doing it. And you have to prepare to stop it in your household. Okay? Notice how I said that, in your household. Because the first thing that's important is the nucleus of your family. You got to make sure your wife and your kids are protected if you're married. Or take care of your mom or your brothers or whatever. Make that unit tight. That's the first line of defense. Then you start to encompass everybody else. But if you're ignorant to it, if you're ignorant to the things that are happening, you're going to get sucked up. Now, last week, I spoke about, on Wednesday, I spoke about the Ascended Masters. I added a new article to the page. It talks about it says the Satanic Connections with Benjamin Franklin. Now, this is a very, very interesting article because it was written by Time Magazine. Time Magazine brought this out in 2003. Now, this is a founding father, Benjamin Franklin. You know, the same guy that wrote that quote about, you know, the Tree of Liberty has to be watered by the blood of patriots. Now, if he's saying the Tree of Liberty has to be watered by the blood of patriots, you have to ask yourself, what is the Tree of Liberty? What is the metaphor for the Tree of Liberty? And if he's watering it by the blood of patriots and tyrants, we have to say, well, what does he really mean behind that? Because in this particular article, they actually explained that Benjamin Franklin, in his house, there were the remains of women and children in the founding father's basement. So we have to ask ourselves, who and what was this demonic being that set up the foundation of the United States? And we also have to ask ourselves, why in the hell is the U.S. set up like some kind of daggone demonic obelisks and pentagrams and all these things to worship some demons? What's going on? And when you understand these things, you start to have to question, what is the United States of America? What is the United States of America? What is the purpose of the United States of America? Why did the United States of America set up the United Nations? Why are there only 5 people that have this veto power? Why did the United States set up now? Okay? Why did they create North Korea and South Korea with all this conflict? Why did they create Iraq and Iran? What is all this about? Why did they make a third world out of Africa and South America? What is all this about? Why did England destroy India with the drugs and China with the drugs? And why do the Christian ministers today walk around like the U.S. is the great country that is blessed by the Most High and ignore the history? Okay. I'm going to play for y'all a treat. I'm going to sign out. This is a poem. This is Amiri Baraka. This is an old poet, brother. And many of you probably heard of this, but if many of you haven't, it is quite a treat. And I'm going to sign out. It's called Somebody Blew Up America. Here we go.
Somebody blew up America. All thinking people oppose terrorism, both domestic and international. But one should not be used to cover the other.
America. They say it's some terrorist, some barbaric Arab in Afghanistan. It wasn't our American terrorists, it wasn't the Klan, or the skinheads, or the them that blows up nigger churches or reincarnates us on death row. It wasn't Trent Lott, or David Duke, or Giuliani, or Shunla, Helms retiring. It wasn't the gonorrhea in costume, the white sheet diseases that have murdered black people, terrorized reason and sanity, most of humanity, as they pleases. They say, who say, who do the saying? Who is in pain? Who tell the lies? Who in disguise? Who had the slaves? Who got the bucks out the bucks? Who got fat from plantations? Who genocided Indians, tried to waste the black nation? Who live on Wall Street, the first plantation? Who cut your nuts off? Who rape your mom? Who lynched your pa? Who got the tar? Who got the feathers? Who had the match? Who set the fires? Who killed and hired? Who say they God? Still be the devil. Who the biggest only? Who the most goodest? Who do Jesus resemble? Who created everything? Who the smartest? Who the greatest? Who the richest? Who say you ugly and they the good lookingest? Who define art? Who define science? Who made the bombs? Who made the guns? Who bought the slaves? Who sold them? Who call you them names? Who say Dahmer wasn't insane? Who? Who stole Puerto Rico? Who stole the Indies, the Philippines, Manhattan, Australia, and the Hebrides? Who forced opium on the Chinese? Who owned them buildings? Who got the money? Who think you funny? Who lock you up? Who owned the papers? Who owned the slave ship? Who run the army? Who was the fake president? Who the ruler? Who the banker? Who the devil on the real side? Who got rich from Armenian genocide? Who the biggest terrorist? Who changed the Bible? Who kill the most people? Who do the most evil? Who don't worry about survival? Who have the colonies? Who stole the most land? Who rule the world? Who say they good but only do evil? Who the biggest executioner? Who? Who own the oil? Who want more oil? Who told you what you think that later you find out is a lie? Oh. Who found Bin Laden? Maybe they Satan. Who paid the CIA? Who knew the bomb was gonna blow? Who know how the terrorists learned to fly in Florida and San Diego? Who knew why five Israelis was filming the explosion? And cracking their sides at the notion. Who need fossil fuel when the sun ain't going nowhere? Who make the credit cards? Who get the biggest tax cut? Who walked out of the conference against racism? Who killed Malcolm, Kennedy, and his brother? Who killed Dr. King? Who would want such a thing? Are they linked to the murder of Lincoln? Who invaded Grenada? Who made money from apartheid? Who keep the Irish a colony? Who overthrew Chile and Nicaragua later? Who killed David Sebeko, Chris Hani, the same ones who killed Biko, Cabral, Neruda, Allende, Che Guevara, Sandino? Who killed Kabila, the ones who wasted Lumumba, Manlane, Betty Shabazz, Princess Di, Ralph Featherstone, Little Bobby? Locked up Mandela, Daruba, Geronimo, Asada, Mumia, Garvey, Dashiell Hammett, Althea Sutton. Who killed Huey Newton, Fred Hampton, Medgar Evers, Mikey Smith, Walter Rodney? Was it the ones who tried to poison Fidel? Who tried to keep the Vietnamese oppressed? Who put a price on Lenin's head? Who put the Jews in ovens? And who helped them do it? Who said America first and okayed the yellow stars? Ho! killed Rosa Luxemburg, Liebknecht, who murdered the Rosenbergs, and all the good people iced, tortured, assassinated, banished, who got rich from Algeria, Libya, Haiti, Iran, Iraq, Saudi, Kuwait, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, Jordan, Palestine, who cut off people's hands in the Congo, who invented AIDS, who put the germs in the Indians' blankets, who thought up the Trail of Tears, who blew up the Maine and started the Spanish-American War, who got Sharon back in power, who backed Batista, Hitler, Bilbo, Chiang Kai-shek, who decided affirmative action had to go? Reconstruction, the New Deal, the New Frontier, the Great Society. Who do Tom S. Clarence work for? Who do come out the colon's mouth? Who know what kind of skeezer is a Condoleezza? Who pay Connolly to be a wooden Negro? Who give genius awards to Homo Locus Subsidiary? Who overthrew Nkrumah, Bishop? Who poisoned Robeson? Who tried to put Du Bois in jail? Who framed Rap Jamil Alameen? Who framed the Rosenbergs, Garvey, the Scottsboro Boys, the Hollywood Ten? Who set the Reichstag fire? Who knew the World Trade Center was going to get bombed? Who told 4,000 Israeli workers at the Twin Towers to stay home that day? Why did Sharon stay away? Who? Who? Explosion of owl, the newspapers say. Devil's face could be seen. Explosion of owl, the newspapers say the devil's face could be seen. Who? Who make money from war? Who make dough from fear and lies? Who want the world like it is? Who want the world to be ruled by imperialism and national oppression and terror, violence and hunger and poverty? Who is the ruler of hell? Who is the ruler of hell? Who is the most powerful? Who you know ever seen God? But everybody's seen the devil. Like an owl exploding in your life, in your brain, in yourself. Like an owl who know the devil all night, all day if you listen. Like an owl exploding in fire. Like an owl exploding in your life, in your brain, in yourself. Like an owl who know the devil all night, all day, if you listen. Like an owl exploding in fire. We hear the questions rise in terrible flame like the whistle of a crazy dog. Like the acid vomit of the fire of hell. Who and who and who?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I am signing off. I will put in the Blog Talk when the next show is. Thank you for listening.